19:19-21. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant.
Good morning. It's nice to be here again. You know that last week it's the end of the series on Elijah, but I was quite full of it and had many ideas. So this is not in the series, but it's about Elijah and Elisha anyway. And there are quite a lot of new ideas popping up for me. Could you bring me the in my pocket of the fleece? So the reading is about the calling of Elisha. Thank you very much. Having quite a cold, sometimes you forget things. And if I make steps in preaching, I think, then please draw my attention. I may have to declare a little bit more. It's basically the idea of a party. We've seen the idea of Elisha receiving the cloak of Elijah. It's basically his calling, his ministry. And then he says, well, moment, I want to say goodbye to my family. And they throw a barbecue. And I think the difference between Elijah says, what do I have to do with you? And no, my family is very important here. Yes, I accept the ministry, but not forget about my relations. It's a very interesting difference between Elijah and Elisha. In order to get things better, I will make a quick run through the story again. It's like a summary also of the Elijah series. And quite a bit about burnout, the story, because we see a case of burnout in the life of Elijah, and I will go into that also, which is very much related to his attitude towards relations and family. So the story, the story of Ahab being not obedient to God, God sending actually his judgment, no rain for 3 years, no response to the warnings, 3 years of no rain, and then there's this challenge of the prophets of Baal and Elijah, and that's quite a big victory, because the God who answers with fire shall be God. And, well, Baal, who is a god of onweer, thunder, does not answer, but the Lord God answers actually with lightning and is clearly to be seen as God. Big success. Next step is that Elijah runs before the chariot of Ahab all the way to Samaria, which is his king's town. And then there's a little hiccup, because there's one woman saying by the mouth of a messenger, well, tomorrow you will be as dead as the prophets of Baal. And as Paul Ogutu said, why didn't she send an assassin? Why a messenger? Very good point. It would have been easy to send a few soldiers and finish him off, but he would have been a martyr. It was better to carry him away and abandon the cause and discredit himself for the sake of Jezebel. And that's exactly what happens. Because Elijah runs away and he wants to die. He says, God, let me die. And here you can see a very clearly unanswered prayer by Elijah. God does not answer his prayer in the way he expects it to do. He wants it. He wants to die. He's not better than his ancestors. But God answers in a different way. He sends him life. Very clearly, we generally don't. We don't always get the answer we expect on prayer. God actually intervenes in a very strong way, but not in the way that Elijah at that moment in his despair wanted. God provides, and it's a very simple thing. It's by an angel, so it's very supernatural, but what's provided is very natural. Food, drink, sleep. And exercise. The idea is go for a walk. Go to the mountain of the Lord, Horeb, in 40 days. And like, oh, this is a big exercise. Well, it isn't. 40 days, the distance is about 400 kilometers, so 10 kilometers a day. Morning walk, sleep in the heat of the day. Evening walk, it's not a nice road, so maybe it's 1.5 hour, 2 hours in the morning and in the evening. It's a nice rhythm of, and there's food. That the power of food that God provides gave him the energy to do it. And then there's a display of power and of peace, because once he reaches the mountain of the Lord, there is an earthquake, and there is thunder and lightning and a storm, but God is not in the storm, and there's a quiet still, and God speaks in the quiet. So it's a display of God's power. But his presence is actually not in the power, it's in the stillness of the voice of the whispering wind. And God listens to him. Why are you here, Elijah? I have worked very hard. I've been very zealous. They killed your prophets. I am the only one left. And it's not one time, but several times Elijah tells this story. And God listens and is patient. And next step is actually, okay, this is too much for you. You will actually anoint a few people who are your successors and take your terrible job. It's a hard work. And I will give it to someone else who do actually your work. It's delegation, actually. They make a plan how to finish the work. Elijah can't do it, so he has some successors and helpers. Okay, now on burnout, what is it? He clearly has a burnout, what we would call a burnout, and it's something which happened to people at my age when I was young, and now I am that age. Actually, it happens to students. People have burnouts before they're 20. Last year, I had a philosophy student. She was completely burnt out because of wanting to have higher results and then having some very hard things happening in her life. She was had a burnout before her 20s. So it's happening so much, it's like the measles. Everyone gets it in their life, it seems, once. Well, if you have the disposition to get it, probably you'll go very near to it. But one of the objectives of this story is about learn to recognize the situation and get out of it before you get too deep in it. And don't get a second one, because you can recover from the first one, but it's hard to recover from the second burnout. Okay, so Elijah has very clearly a number of the characteristics of a burnout. There are probably three stages you could mention: complete despair, the frustration, and the confusion stages. So it's not being overworked. If you've been working too hard, and we work hard, and you can relax. If it's just overworked, it will you will recover in a few weeks' time. The problem with burnout is it's not working too hard, it's not relaxing enough, because we have times of exercise and getting into things that take energy, and times of recovering your energy in whatever way works best for you. But if you don't recover, you get into this situation. It's long-term exhaustion, and it's a hormonal imbalance. If you are stressed, you have all kinds of hormones extra. It's like adrenaline, It gives you a rush. You can run very fast, but you don't think anymore. Basically, all your blood goes to your muscles, and so not to into your digestive organs and not into your brains. You can run very fast. If there's a lion on your heels, you run faster than anything you've done before. Probably not faster than the lion, but that's not necessary. You have to run faster than the slowest of your company. That's good enough if you're with a group. So exercise, good thing if you're in a group. If you're on a safari, you don't have to run as fast as a lion. You just have to run faster than the slowest in the group. Okay? And adrenaline helps you to do it. But if there's a long-term stress, there's also other things like cortisol involved, which basically enables you to be under stress for a long time, but it's very bad for your immune system. Basically, you get the flu like I have, and I have to consider, am I not relaxing enough? Yeah, but also all kinds of inflammations, all kinds of signals that your body says, this is enough, stop running around, relax. So the chance of getting something as a physical illness because of it is a possibility. And often we ignore the signals of the body because the job needs to be done. And you get into an unhealthy lifestyle. Basically, you start saving time on all kinds of ways by eating very fast food, having an energy bar rather than sitting with your friends for a meal. All kinds of instant energy you want to use, coffee with a lot of sugar. It helps. Petra, I wanted water, and she gave me coffee, so it boosts you. But if you're on, let's say, 8 cups a day with a lot of sugar, you should be concerned probably. We have unhealthy ways of relaxing, sometimes with substances like alcohol. It helps you to relax, but not the right type of relaxation. So you're too busy to get all your work done, too busy to relax, and you're not taking time to recover from your exhaustion. And it takes long-term toll on your body, and on your emotions, and on your spiritual life. It's not just, it's bad for your body, it's very bad for your emotions, for your soul, but also for your spirit. It has its effects. And in the story of Elijah, we see that God actually answers all these aspects. some sectors go into it, education where I'm working, people who work in care. People who start a job, self-employed people, ZZ-payers, middle management, if you're stuck between the people that need to perform and your bosses that want them even to perform more, or cut costs, so get rid of some people, it takes a lot of stress, actually. Yeah? And your personality has a big thing to do it. I myself am not completely susceptible to it because I'm not a perfectionist. But if you are, which is probably you want to do your work very in a good way, huh? You want to have perfect results, it actually makes you more susceptible to a burnout. People want to please, never say no, and want to please people. It's perfectionism. And if you're a type that finds it difficult to relax, that's risk. No? Sometimes it helps. I sat for a long time in the sun. I did a little bit of work, but not too much. It's been too much for me. So, but I realize, okay, the work, I need to prioritize, but I need to relax at this moment. Otherwise, it doesn't help if you thinking is not very clear because of all these nasty substances. It takes more time to do the same job and more energy. So you get in spiraling down. Okay, he's a man like us, Elijah. It's very clear. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. He's a man like us and he's a hero. in Jewish families, there's an extra plate on the table in many cases, because Elijah may come back to remind him. He's a very important prophet, but still a man like us. He has a very difficult job. He has to announce judgment on his own people. He's not a cool type that ruthlessly tells this is going to happen. He's very obedient in doing what God tells them, but the results really gnawed him, I think. And the fact that they are not obedient, he finds terrible, but also the results of the judgment. I don't think he's called under it. I think it touches him and it's difficult for him. It's a difficult environment here. Israel is upset. There's few people who follow the Lord. He thinks he's the only one. And he is very much a do-it-all-yourself type. Probably perfectionist also. So there's a crisis, there's an after difficult time, the famine, and after a highlight or success on Carmel. These are triggers for a burnout, by the way. If you had a difficult time or a success, both can actually trigger going from working very hard into I can't do anything anymore. After a big effort, running from Carmel to Samaria is quite like a marathon. And the first runner of a marathon actually had a message after running 40 kilometers, we have the victory. And he dropped down dead. You need to train for it for a long time. And actually living in a house of widow in the upper room is not a good preparation for running a marathon, I think. So it was quite a big effort. And then a small disappointment actually can trigger the threat of Jezebel. It's just all kinds of things that trigger burnouts, both difficult times as well as a success, both making a big effort or a very small disappointment, it seems. And he drops it all, he abandons it, he says, I wish I was dead. Let me die, please, Lord. And I've been very zealous, I've been working very hard, and I'm the only one left. Complete feeling of isolation. And I know many students have this feeling. Want to drop it all, don't want to continue, have been working very hard on my own, and no contacts anymore because I used all my time for working. And a very small disappointment. I hoped for a 9 and I have only an 8. Or this was the deadline. So it's a story not only for the people who are desperate and had a big problem in their life, like losing a spouse, or but it's something we run into, a lot of us run to it, into it. It's a very daily thing. For the cure, the angel just says, eat, drink, and then he goes to sleep. Getting your biological, physical rhythm back. Eat healthy stuff. Probably water and bread in this case, but you need some vitamins also. And sleep. And get good sleep, because in a burnout, either you sleep 12 hours a day and you don't wake up refreshed, or you can't sleep at all, because the whole rhythm of relaxing is just out of the window. And then take time to exercise. Go for walks. I think, as a philosopher, I think the worst posture you put people in for thinking is on a chair behind a desk in a classroom. I think walking around is much better for thinking or lying down. In both cases, your brain gets more oxygen because you're active, basically. You think better. So get some exercise. It's better for your whole body also. So it's all very physical, very basic. And then that's after this exercise is finding your relaxation again, finding God in the quiet place. not in the storm, not in the earthquake, or in fire. And it's, here's the difficult thing, if people have a burnout and you have the attitude of doing it all by yourself and attaining perfection is, you may have the idea, oh, I will work myself out of it. I will set this program of exercise and I will start doing running 20 kilometers a day and I will read a chapter of the Bible a day and pray for 50 minutes and these are my goals and that way I will work myself out of the burnout. It's not going to happen. You can't work yourself out of a burnout. It's getting your physical rhythm restored, your emotions quieted, and then God will come to you. It's always good to speak to people, and yes, maybe your story is very much, I'm the only one left, I've worked so hard, I feel bad. It's important to have someone who has an open ear for your complaint. It will help you to accept where you are and move away from that point. And then, you can't do that earlier, you need to plan your life. Because planning in the first stage is not possible. You get to a certain level of being relaxed and then it will be possible, probably with somebody else, to start planning how you should actually go about things, set your goals, and very important, the delegation. And we have in the Netherlands generally quite a lot of chefs and your middle manager, your university promoter, whatever. In general, they have quite understanding and realize that many, many of you work too hard and maybe that your tasks should be shuffled and things should be taken away. And you should concentrate on main things, and you need time to recover. If you have the image of authority persons as demanding more of you, it's hard to open up to people who organize with you. And you will find out there are many others left. God says, I've got 7,000 left who have not bowed to their knees for Baal. Okay, so there's a stage of despair. And if you're really in despair and don't know what to do anymore, you need probably professional help, a counselor. It's not about reading a good book anymore. This Elijah stage, you couldn't have fixed it with a self-help book. Yeah. If you have frustration, it's basically your colleagues are irritating you. You don't like your work anymore. You don't like going to work. Basically, there's a lot of energy even getting to your work. There's frustration. Well, you have to admit there is a problem, and probably you need someone to talk to. And organize things. Yeah? If you're confused and are not certain anymore about your goals, well, you get your life in order. It's just a slight feeling of confusion. It's like, okay, where am I going? What am I doing? It's not very clear what my goals are. I'm working, but I'm not attaining my goals because they seem to be ill-defined. It's a recipe for getting into burnout. Organize it well. It's a pre-stage, this confusion, not anything like a full burnout. But prevention is much better than healing. It's basically all these things that heal are there also to prevent it. Make certain you get enough sleep, good quality sleep, good food, and probably eat together with other people, if possible. You get your exercise and, very important, relations. That's the thing I would like to focus on in a moment, because that's the difference between Elijah and Elisha. And information, one of the reasons they're so so many burnouts going on, the amount of information you can process is limited. And if you're always available via your phone, via computers and media, you get far more information probably in a year's time than 50 years ago people got in a lifetime. And we have a limited amount of information that we can process. So it's one of the reasons why people are overfed with information and get very tired. It's just too much information. So make certain your goals are clear, plan your life, set your priorities. Not only in what you need to do, but what you need also. Where your energy is coming from and where you want to put it towards. That's a clear and worthy goal where you put it in, but also where you find your new energy. And it's very important to seek God in the quiet place always. That really is the thing. But once you are quite deep in stages of confusion, it's very difficult to find God in that quiet place. Your quiet time is actually the moment that your to-do list pops up. Maybe one of the better things is write them down, forget about it, and try to get it quiet again. Okay, for Elijah, we have learned that the Lord is God, the meaning of his name. Eli is God, and Jah is Yahweh. Eli is like El, the general name for God. And the word Allah, as general God, is actually the same root. But Yahweh is I am who I am, the personal name of God, who he is. And they are linked together here. This, the Lord is God, the only God. He's very much a loner. He walks alone and he does it all by himself. And miracles display God's power. And also provision for Elijah on his own. And he is, as Elmer explained, a type of John the Baptist. But actually Elisha, is the Lord saves. Of God saves. And he is a person of cooperation. And he has relations that are important. He has a servant with a name. Interesting that Elijah has a servant and he leaves him at Beersheba, but he's never named. And here we find actually Gehazi, the servant of, and he fails at some point because he takes a present after Naaman is healed, and with the present he gets actually leprosy because Naaman left his leprosy behind, and with the present the leprosy comes. And so he's not a star, but he is named, he is known. And he has a family that he wants to say goodbye to with a barbecue. And he works not alone. You see all kinds of stories that he works in a band of prophets. The interesting thing is, if you see the list of miracles, it's much longer than Elijah's list. And his miracles display a lot of God's character and care and provision. He heals the water of Jericho for a whole city when they have a pot with wild vegetables. They are inedible, but he does something about it and they can eat. And it's a long story, and many of the miracles of Jesus seem actually to be modeled on Elisha's. A few of the miracles of Elijah and Elijah are the same also. And you could say he's a type of Jesus. And an interesting thing is that Elijah actually, very impressive, he has his ascension. He doesn't die. He's taken up into the heavens on chariot of fire. Very spectacular. Elijah dies, is laid in the grave, and at some point another person is put in the grave, touches the bones of Elijah, and comes to life. Well, if you want to see the type of Jesus, Jesus was, of course, not in any grave. He didn't leave there. But after he died, he was still able to do miracles. Jesus also does miracles after he died and, of course, raised from the dead. He's still doing miracles now in our lives. So I think that's quite a type of Jesus here. Okay. These are a number of characteristics why I would say that Elisha does not have this experience of burnout. He knows how to celebrate his relations. He knows how to cooperate with people. There's a lot of miracles. There's a miracle that he's in a besieged city, and his servant is very afraid, and he prays, okay, Lord, let them see this servant, that those are who are with us are more than of the enemy, and he sees actually the angels. So he sees. And then the miracle is that the people who besiege are stricken with blindness. So he makes people see and others go blind, and he takes them to a city, the blind people, and then they say, oh, shall we kill them? And his response is, well, if you had captured them by your own sword, would you have killed them? No. Well, let them celebrate, give them to eat, and send them back. So here there's a barbecue also for the enemies. And they are sent back to home, basically. And that was the end when bands of these Arameans stopped attacking, but the king still attacked later on. So there's quite an interesting list of miracles in the life of Elisha. And if you want to enjoy good story reading, well, continue reading about the life of Elisha. It's, I think, very uplifting. Thank you for your attention. I hope that it made sense. And if it didn't, please ask me. I may have left some important steps of thinking. Oh, huh? Okay. Naldi, would you please? Next, our reason why I